I am joined in the studio now by Bill Swift. He is the executive director of the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. And tomorrow for Chamber Lunch, he is going to be discussing five keys to effective management of the problematic employee. And so, tell us a bit about maybe your background and why you are making this presentation.
Yeah, and part of it, Maria, is that the context is that we've dedicated a chamber lunch like every other month to workplace sort of development. And most of our topics over the last several months have been positive workplace kind of experiences, how to improve engagement, how to build teams, you know, comparing ourselves to the best work teams. What are the characteristics of best work teams? We had a couple months ago a panel where Tatsuta's, Trident Seafoods, we had KIC and Madison Hardware, a panel of employers were talking about, you know, positive approaches to the workplace. Well, tomorrow we're going to go a little bit into the dark side, the very important business of managing problem employees, where you've got a performance issue and where there are some best practices. And it happens here in Ketchikan, but, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with businesses over the last several months. And it's always a challenge, you know, to sort of when I've got somebody, I might like this person, you know, they might, who knows, they might be a relative, you know. but how do I approach in the most effective way to help this employee either improve their performance, or that we need to make a clear decision with our business, and the ripple when I don't do that, the ripple effect in my business, you know, can be really toxic and, you know, problematic, sometimes devastating when I'm not really addressing these kind of issues. So my background is I've been doing this for a little while in the lower 48. You know, spent a lot of time in the state of Oregon with an employer association where this was actually our most popular, not the one people wanted to come to, but popular in terms of where supervisors, managers, you know, business owners felt like they wanted to get a little bit more skill building around managing the problem employee.
And I think oftentimes people are put into management positions without really having the training to be a manager.
Well, and we had many managers in moments of honesty will tell you that it's their least favorite part of it. You know, sometimes they aspire to move up, you know, and you know, hey, I got a promotion. I'm, you know, wait a second, now I've got to manage these people, you know, and it comes with, most of it is rewarding and lovely, and you know, it comes with, you know, challenges that you enjoy, you know, but sometimes you have these employees that just, you know, everything you're doing, you know, with the, you know, the best of intentions is not working. And you're right, sometimes it's frustrating. But we've had many supervisors who have gone through that, and I've had a few who have chosen to get out of supervision because it's so, you know, that this part is so challenging. But there are some things, and that's what we're going to explore tomorrow. There are just sort of a few keys that you can kind of lean into that make it easier. And don't go it alone. You know, even if you don't have, you know, the luxury, you know, we've got a lot of small businesses here in Ketchikan. You don't have the luxury of a human resource department or you know, consultants around. There are some folks you might have a cup of coffee with that can really help you kind of get grounded and move through a process of managing a problematic employee.
And we won't have time to get into all of it in depth, but what basically are those five keys?
Well, there's some questions that one needs to ask, you know, themselves, you know, the importance of this. And we're going to do a little bit of, you know, hygiene check, we call it. You know, just sort of if you've done your homework, you've set up your workplace where those five keys, you know, are easier to apply. The most important being that I've set a standard. People know what's expected of them. You know, it's like, well, this person never shows up at the right time. Well, did the person know what the right time was and what the culture, you know, what our company culture, you know, what our what's expected of each other. Also, you know, are there obstacles? You know, have we trained the person? You know, or are they a good fit for the job? You know, those kind of things. But, you know, what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to give a worksheet that says, you know, make sure you ask these questions when you're diagnosing, but also what kind of things, what kind of supports do you have? But five keys are, you know, I observe, I pay attention. and I keep track. I document, I write stuff down, and you don't have to be a full, you know, kind of 3-inch thick, you know, file person, but I make sure I write things down, and we're going to explore why that's vital to the process and on several levels. I prepare. I don't overreact. That is, I don't jump in, or I don't underreact, which is the more common response. You know, I don't avoid it, but through preparation, I've looked at my documentation. I've talked to a couple people I've trusted. Now I'm going to talk to the employee. And it's sort of when in doubt, if I'm writing something down, I mention it to the employee. You know, there's many supervisors who make the mistake of kind of keeping a secret file on this person. It's sort of like the rule of thumb is, if it's worth writing down, it's worth mentioning to the employee. Hey, I noticed you were late today. Please don't let that happen again. It really affects the work team, and we really focus here at your workplace on everyone being here on time. That's an intervention in a hallway. Sometimes it can make all the difference. The other thing is, I take action, and then the most important part of the five steps is following through, and it's one that we sometimes neglect, and because this is sometimes an emotional and a challenging kind of process, we forget to put on the calendar, I'll talk to you next Friday about your plan to improve, how that alarm clock is going to get you up on time and on, whatever your, action plan is. And the whole, if we do this right, and that's the whole intention is that we do this right, that what happens is the ownership of this problem is on the employee. And what we find is supervisors who come in and sit down and bang their fist on the desk and say, I don't know what to do, is that they've got, the ownership is not shared. They've got more as the boss than they should have. Employees should engage with us in this. And sometimes the going through these five steps, we realize some things. Well, maybe there's a training issue. Maybe there's a work fit issue. There's something else going on. And we can work with the employee on this, but it's up to them. We really want them to sort of take full ownership of this. But the other thing that is really important for us is to distinguish between the problem employee and the troubled employee. And we're going to spend a little bit of time tomorrow. We don't have, we've got a lunch to cover some things. But it's a really important distinction. And one of the things with I mentioned the series, the context, we have a partnership with the Wellness Coalition here in Ketchikan. And we're hoping across the board to improve our response to depression, for instance. So one of the things that happens in this kind of process of dealing with the problem employee is sometimes you find you've got a troubled employee, which is a little bit different. It's somebody who can do the job. Maybe they have done the job previously, but they're starting to show, they're not showing up on time, or they're showing lack of focus, or they're not being as productive, that kind of thing. And it may be that there's a personal problem that they can't effectively manage. And this means it's time to, practice some boundaries. It's a finesse job, but we want to make sure that anybody who is here in Ketchikan, we're not unique, on the planet, but we do have, folks who get depressed. Maybe they have an addiction problem, that kind of thing. As an employer now, what do I do? I don't want to run a halfway house here. I'm trying to, build ships or run a fishing, business or, whatever else we're doing, a service, organization. But I do want to make sure that I give good resources and good options to my employee, and back to ownership, let them make the decisions and to move through those things. But as supervisors, sometimes we get caught up into that squishy area where, like I mentioned, boundaries, where now all of a sudden I'm no longer the supervisor. I feel like I'm the counselor and the confidant and the shaman. I'm doing all these things that I really am not being paid to do, and I want to manage this in a way that helps my business but also helps the individual. And that's what we're looking at, those the sort of the five keys. It's about boundaries and about again, if I've set some pretty clear expectations, then the employees know how to behave and know how to move through that. But also we might want to offer, and we'll be talking a little bit about employee assistance programs. There are several, and basically it's not just a hotline. It means that there are resources to which an employee can be referred if they say in the conversation about your performance issue, well, you don't understand, I've got I've got relationship issues. I've got legal issues. I've got emotional issues. I'm depressed and addicted, whatever it is. Okay, there are resources. Why don't you go take advantage of these resources? We will support you while you do that. And I don't say but, and we fully expect that you're going to be here on time when you can. If you need a leave of absence, we can discuss that. So you see, that troubled employee is a sort of a subset of the problem, you know, the problem issues, but a very important one, and one that as employers, sometimes we have more leverage than anybody in town. You know, it's, we didn't ask for this. Like you said, we talk about some supervisors are reluctant participants in this process, but sometimes, you know, we've got success stories that are based on setting limits, tough love, and managing that, you know, those moments, you know, when I've got somebody who otherwise could do the job, they just got some stuff going on that they can't manage.
And I think, as you said, it's easier to avoid dealing with people in a sense, or but it's not, you know, it's easier in some sense, but it makes things more difficult and can also affect the whole group, not just the supervisor and this other one employee.
Right, and when we've done this topic as like a half day or a full day, when sometimes we'll ask supervisors to, you know, sort of break out in small groups and talk about the kind of consequences of, you know, and, you know, true confessions. Has anyone ever not addressed an issue that they feel they if on rewind, if they could do it, have a do-over, that they would have, you know, addressed it earlier? And everybody raises their hand and they talk about all the kind of problems that occur when I've not said something. And we'll share at lunch tomorrow a little bit of, you know, kind of research that is no surprise to anybody, that employees often tell us that their supervisors failed to address poor performers, and, you know, in an effective way, and it's an unenviable role that we take as managers and supervisors, but a very important one. But it is, it's easier, as you suggest, it's easier to sort of avoid. I get busy. There's also, and we know we can brainstorm all the reasons why, and they're all good reasons, you know, why I might avoid. You know, I just don't want to hurt the person's feelings. You know, hey, it's my brother-in-law. I mean, there's all kinds of things that, you know, might contribute to why we would avoid having that conversation. And we're going to strongly suggest that we have a bias for action. You know, when it comes to those kind of things, it's just, you know, if it's gone unsaid, it's something that we probably should say. But, it, you know, back to the other workshops that we've been doing, the other lunch and learns, you know, really we're based on building that bank account. So if I've got a strong, you know, a relationship with you where we've had, you know, we've had good exchange about the positive things, I've caught you being good a lot, you know, as your supervisor, then I probably have a real solid ground to stand on when we have the conversation about there's some problems with your performance, and let's talk about that. And what is your plan, Ms. or Mrs. Employee? You know, what are you going to do to improve along those lines?
Okay, so tomorrow you'll be talking about these five keys. I'm guessing people will be able to ask questions and have a bit of interaction. Like you said, it is a limited amount of time.
Correct. And we build these in so there is some interaction. We've given, you know, there's some takeaways. We'll have a two-sided worksheet that allows, you know, everybody to sort of have something they can put in their back pocket or put in a file somewhere for, you know, their problem employee file and work with it. But we will have some discussion, some interaction. What I found is there's a lot of expertise here in town. Like I say, when we had the panel, you know, with Trident and Tatsuta's and Madison and KIC, we talked a little bit about this, and there's a lot of great skills and, you know, folks who have been through this, and, you know, it becomes more art than science. Although I'm trying to give you five keys, you know, that give, you know, the process that one must follow, and when we do it well. But the art part of it is, you know, it's not always the same. We want to build consistency, you know, into our, you know, whatever process we follow. But we also understand that there's a little finesse that goes with it, you know, because every employee is different as far as the way that they can hear us and the way that we can engage them and, you know, where they need a lot of attention or not much attention, that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're looking forward to the conversation. And when we've done these before, people in Ketchikan aren't shy. Have you noticed that? they'll let you know what their experiences are and what they think. You know, so what we're looking forward to this. We also Maria, are going to do later in the year, probably in the fall, have some half day where we stretch out a little bit more on these kind of workplace development things and bring other folks in with expertise and experience and have that, you know, those kind of conversations that help us all. I mean, we're looking to, you know, create a menu of great things we can do. As I mentioned, the employee assistance service is that with the Wellness Coalition, there'll be some upcoming announcements where we're trying to bring up some options that employers can explore that are not that expensive, you know, something like $15 an employee a year or less, where you get a little bit more of a robust benefit, and it really helps with that problem that troubled employee category that I talked about, you know, sort of giving people an option, you know, for a phone call to a professional. You know, we talk about it a lot, you know, the resources in Ketchikan, you know, aren't what we would all like them to be. They, you know, it's just a fact, but we're working on it. But the fact is also that there are resources in Ketchikan, and there are, you know, that, you know, their telephone, there's good counseling, there's good, you know, treatment, you know, and if you have to get off the island to get care, then let's do it, you know. But this is one of the things that as responsible employers, we don't want to get over involved, but we do want to give open doors so that, you know, folks can take good care of themselves.
And is that something as well that you will discuss available resources?
You bet. Yeah. And one of the things in our partnership with Wellness Coalition is that we're developing a menu that's already almost complete and, you know, coming to a chamber lunch near you, where we're going to talk a little bit more about the resources. And again, one of the things that, with reaching out to our members, we're hearing that, you know, there's really best practices already in Ketchikan. We're just trying to formalize that. And like you say, give those resources and look at, you know, what you can do. And, you know, sometimes, you know, employers look around and they go, well, I don't have exactly what I would like. We're also faced with the challenge, and we're not the only place, but, you know, we're a small town. We know a lot of sometimes we learn more than we want to know about each other. You know, being able to have that anonymity and confidentiality when someone's taking care of those personal problems. But there's ways to do it professionally. And you bet we'll be talking about those resources. We'll mention them tomorrow, but in the months to come, we'll be doing a little bit more around this.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to add?
Well, karaoke cruise this Saturday. I just wanted to say you're invited.
Karaoke cruise?
Alan Marine is taking us out at no cost to you.
Oh, this is a chamber after hours?
Chamber after hours. So that's the only thing. It's off topic, but I just wanted to invoke folks to call Alan Marine 225-8100 and, you know, and KRBD, you know, you should be on the boat with us. It's 5:30 to 8. Or 8:30, and they're going to take us out, and we're going to, you don't have to sing, just, you know, come on out and have some fun with us. But we're just looking forward to getting a few more people on the boat. We've got a bunch of folks reserved, but it don't cost you anything. You know, come join us for the cruise on Alan Marine. That's the 6th, this Saturday.
Okay, does someone have to be a chamber member to do it, or?
No, I mean, we're really inviting, you know, the chamber members to, you know, to be, you know, sort of sponsor folks. But if you're not a chamber member, that's fine. Give us a call, come interact and kind of see how the chamber has fun after hours.
There you go. Okay, right. Thank you very much. And this presentation, 5 Keys to Effective Management of the Problematic Employee, that's at noon tomorrow, the chamber lunch, and that is at Cape Fox?
At Cape Fox Lodge.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bill Swift from the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce.